Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white. Just a...
Hey, everybody, it's me, Wayne Klingman. Yes, gentlemen, please put down your loaded guns, put down your scotches, put down your cigars, and you in the back there, put down that woman. You walk in this place with her. Pay close attention to this show, because we have with us today, yes, we have with us today, the most beautiful woman in the state of Kentucky, yes, the leader of the mob in Lexington. Yes, that's her. We have her on the show today, and she's going to talk about really interesting things and great writing. Therefore, let's stand up and give us a great cheer for the one, the only, the fantastically cool, the very lovely Emily. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Hello, good afternoon.
How does the state find you?
Pretty good. It's a little chilly today. We actually had about a 40-degree temperature drop overnight and some thunderstorms, but it's a pretty good day. Yesterday it was 75 degrees, and last night it got down to about 30, which is pretty normal for here. So
yeah.
The high is about 40 today and really windy, so we all have a sinus headache. But other than that, it's good.
Outstanding. Now, I came across you on Twitter, which is really cool, meeting all kinds of people like you on Twitter. And you're a writer, I understand. Can you tell us a little bit about your writing and where we can find you online and the like, please?
Yes, I have written two books so far. The first one is a short novel called The Bride Wore Brains. It's been out for almost 2 years now. It's about a zombie outbreak at a wedding. It's really fun to write. People seem to really enjoy it. And Tuesday, I just published the first book in my book series called The Movie Star Murders. It is a murder mystery crime series I've been working on for some time. I have about 4 or 5 books planned in the whole series. It takes place in the 1930s in Hollywood, and there's lots of good murdery fun in it. Just came out Tuesday. It's a lot of fun, and I hope that people enjoy it. So far, I've done okay with it. You can buy it on Amazon. It is on Kindle Unlimited right now, and it's on sale for a few days. I did a Kindle countdown deal, and I also have an audiobook that I'm working on.
Really?
That's coming out of, yes.
Outstanding. And do you have a webpage, ma'am?
I do. You can find me at emilywstringer.com. And I also run a true crime blog, murdermostfoul.com.
Oh, wow. What got you interested in the true crime genre?
I've always kind of enjoyed it, and it seems to be really popular right now for whatever reason. I'm not really into, like, the crime shows, like the CSI and stuff like that. I don't care for that. I'd rather hear the true story. Even as someone who writes fiction, I personally find that the best stories are the true ones. And I do tend to use a lot of true inspiration in some of my writing. Because, like they say, you can't make that shit up. You really can't.
No, you can't. And before we get into the story that so makes me chuckle after you sent it to me, is when I tell people what goes on in Racine, Wisconsin, they tell me I must quit doing drugs because what I'm saying is not true. When you send them the documentation that proves it, it's like, no, don't believe it.
Yeah.
But let's give everybody a second to light whatever else they're going to smoke up today, get a drink, and then please talk to us about the conspiracy.
I would be happy to. Okay. Well, the Bluegrass Conspiracy happened in Lexington, Kentucky, 1970s. The ringleader was a man named Andrew Thornton II. He was just a rich Kentucky horse farm kid, went to a private school. He was a former police officer turned lawyer turned drug smuggler. So he had quite an exciting life. He was accused of stealing weapons from a California naval base, and he served some time in prison. But the most interesting part of the Bluegrass Conspiracy, I'm sure if some of your listeners have, you know, obviously they've listened to the mafia and everything, so they've probably heard about it. It's pretty well known outside of Kentucky here, and people still talk about it quite a bit. But the craziest part is not actually a person, it's a bear, also known as Cocaine Bear, or Pablo Escobar is what some people call him. And this is the craziest story. So this guy, Andrew Thornton, he was smuggling drugs back from Colombia. He had a duffel bag with 75 pounds of cocaine on him. So he stops off in Georgia on his way up to Kentucky from Colombia. He jumped out of a plane and got tangled in his parachute, which I just realized is a little D.B. Cooper. So maybe there's some connection there. I don't know. But his body ended up in someone's yard in Knoxville, Tennessee, which that's from Georgia to Knoxville is a decent haul. I'm not sure how far it is. I mean, you could drive it in a day, but clearly something happened where he ended up there. Mm-hmm. So they found his body in someone's yard. 3 months later, a giant black bear was found dead in the Chattahoochee National Forest in Georgia, the most Georgia name ever. Apparently had overdosed on the cocaine that Andrew Thornton dropped. The New York Times actually covered this story. The bear was 175 pounds, and he ate all of this cocaine. And the fun part is that he actually, since it was a criminal investigation, this bear had to be autopsied by a medical examiner.
Oh, wow.
And I found this quote online. This examiner said, "The bear's stomach was literally packed to the brim with cocaine. There isn't a normal mammal on the planet that could survive that." I don't know. It's going to be Charlie Sheen. I don't know. But it got this bear out. So this bear was, after it was autopsied, and they, I'm guessing they took the cocaine out because it was taxidermied. It was gifted to the Chattahoochee River National Recreation Area, where it was, had a plaque that did not mention where it came from. And this was in the 70s. So the early 90s, there was a wildfire outbreak in the area. So they took some of the artifacts that they had and put it in a storage facility nearby in a town called Dalton, Tennessee. A month later, it was stolen. Now this is already weird, but it just gets even weirder from here, which I don't know how that's possible, but it does. The bear had been sold to Waylon Jennings. So, yeah, I can't believe this happened, but it totally did. So the pawn shop, someone had stolen this bear and sold it to Waylon Jennings, who was apparently a big collector of just weird things and taxidermy.
And drugs, too, so, I hear. But go on.
Yes. Maybe, you know, supposedly he didn't know where it came from, but originally, but supposedly someone tracked it down and told him, you know, this is the cocaine bear. And he, when he found out it was stolen, he wanted to give it back. And it ended up in Las Vegas. Because, of course, it does. So it ended up, it got passed down throughout the years. And Waylon Jennings decided to give it to his friend, a man named Ron Thompson, who I couldn't find much about him. It says on this website that I found that he was a Vegas hustler, which makes sense that he would have this bear that had died on cocaine. So, it actually, well, I should say now, the cocaine bear is actually housed in a store in Lexington, Kentucky, called Kentucky for Kentucky. It's a really cool store. Their website is kyforky.com. They have all this really neat Kentucky-themed stuff, prints, great T-shirts. You actually get your Cocaine Bear T-shirt there. I don't have one myself, but I will probably go buy one shortly because I realize that that's what my wardrobe is missing. So this guy, Ron Thompson, died in 2009, and his estate was sold at auction. And the guys that run the store, they've been trying to track down Cocaine Bear for years. So they call, and it had been sold already at this point, 2009. So they called the auction house and asked if they still had the manifest list, which they did. So they tracked down the buyer of Cocaine Bear. And it was a Chinese man who was living in Reno, Nevada. He purchased the bear for $200 in 2009. This man had passed away, so the guys that run this store talked to his wife, and she said, "I don't like this bear. He loved it, but it's yours." So she's like, "Please get this out of my house." So she said, "You guys can have it if you just pay for shipping." And she was not aware of the story of how it happened. Apparently he wasn't either. I think, according to what I found, this man just bought it because he thought it was cool. So they pay, I would like to know how much shipping was from Reno, Nevada to Kentucky for a, I'd say he's probably well over 200 pounds. So before they bought this bear, they had it inspected. And how they found out that it was legit was that it had an autopsy scar on its abdomen. Yeah.
Wow.
So last year, Cocaine Bear came to live in Lexington, Kentucky at the Kentucky for Kentucky store, which is also called the Kentucky Fun Mall. And he is the official mascot.
Sure.
He is, he is up in the store. He has a little plaque and he's wearing a hat and he's become a big attraction. He's been there for about a year. I have gone to see him. I have touched Cocaine Bear. It was the highlight of my life, I must say. Such a weird story. But he was kind of like a local, he was kind of more of like a local legend for a while. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I knew about the bluegrass conspiracy, but I wasn't aware of the bear. And I think more people would have if its history had been a little more documented. But he's here, and we love him.
I'm glad that he's there, and I'm glad that you love him.
Yes.
I mean, the world is full of these little things that we have. here that things like cocaine beer, which I find absolutely fascinating. But touching back to the conspiracy for a bit, it's my understanding that our pilot friend jumped out of the airplane once he discovered that he was being pursued by the DEA.
Yes.
And it's my understanding that they still don't know, because I don't recall if they found the crashed aircraft or not, if he jumped or was pushed.
I don't know. It sounds like he jumped because he had a parachute. So I feel like if you were going to, you know, be pushed from a plane, you wouldn't have a parachute ready to go.
Potentially, right. Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it makes sense that he jumped. I mean, clearly, you know, he'd been in prison before. He was well-known. So I'd say that he probably did jump, because I did read that about the DEA suing him. Since he'd been, you know, a dirty cop before and everything, I'm sure he was on the run at some point. Probably had to get run in.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. 75 pounds of cocaine would have put him in a federal penitentiary for a while, I suspect.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the dealing
for
with the weapons. Yeah, and I don't think I...
Yes.
Of all the things I can think of doing with my life, being in a federal penitentiary does not make the top 10.
No. Yeah, he was found with weapons. He had some pistols and some knives, and he was wearing night vision goggles, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
clearly he was prepared for something.
He was prepared for something, absolutely. And what gets me, as we talked off air a bit, ma'am, is the TV show Justified, and I think the year before the last year it ran, the arc was the story. It starts out with a guy falling in somebody's yard, and of course they find cocaine and the hero's home. Hero himself has a very interesting backstory. The hero's home that he inherits, he finds the cocaine, and then they, like, similar story with cocaine beer. It's the story of how did that cocaine get into the home. The story behind it was fascinating. I just find the history with Kentucky hats, and now we have cocaine beer, to be really, really fascinating, to say the least.
Yes, it is definitely probably one of the weirdest states we have. There's a lot of just crazy stories that happen. There's actually a really neat book called Weird Kentucky that has all of these crazy stories in it. Cocaine Bear is not one of them. Like I said, I think he's just now becoming something that people talk about. Plus, you know, his past is a little sketchy. That bear has had a wild life. I mean, God knows what that bear did. I mean, God knows what that bear did when he was whacked out on cocaine. You probably had, like, a great last day. Like, he was getting all the salmon in the river. He was just having a wild time. But, yeah, there's some crazy stories out of Kentucky, and that might be the craziest one.
I must admit, of all the stories I've heard this week, Cocaine Bear does tap the cake.
Yeah, like I said earlier, you probably did not expect someone to randomly send you a story about a bear that overdosed on cocaine.
No, it's true. I usually get stories about people overdosing on cocaine. And for a while here, there was a run of people that would feed their animals, especially dogs, cannabis for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And cannabis, you know, we can debate cannabis consumption with people, but feeding it to animals may not be the wisest thing people do.
No, not at all. My dog's already lazy enough, so I don't really think she needs it.
No.
I have heard about dogs getting into edibles and just staring at the wall for 3 hours.
Right. And this goes to show, in my opinion, that true crime makes the most interesting stories ever.
I agree, yes.
I mean, who would have guessed in a million years that you yourself, I have the honor, I have the pleasure of talking to a woman that has touched cocaine beer.
Yes, I have. I have, and yes, I have touched him just once. I've only seen him once. But I might go look at him today.
You should. For America. And Cocaine
I
Bear
should.
Was one.
For yes, for America.
America. And Cocaine Bear was once owned by Wellen Jennings, who himself has the most interesting, crazy history.
Yes. I don't know too much about him, but I'm aware of his crazy life some. It's probably someone that I should look into a little more. But actually, funny story, I had a friend growing up who had her two older brothers were twins, and their names were Willie and Waylon.
No.
Yes. And, yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah. That's about as far as I know about Waylon. I've heard some Waylon Jennings. You know, living in the South, you're going to, you know, hear country music when you, you know, go out places. So I'm aware of him,
right.
But I don't really know too much about his life. But I think that needs to change.
I mean, a lot of the music individuals from the Appalachians or with impact from the Appalachians are unique history, have unique histories. In fact, Appalachia, because the whole United States, a unique history. I'm fascinated with the idea that, if I may, when the Scots and Irish came to America from the English, the first thing they did when they got off the boats was run to the mountains. You know, I thought that's fascinating that they did that. And then, of course, during the Revolutionary War, War of 1812, Civil War, and even all of the wars, they've been some of the most fervent servers of American military, you know. We have a great number of heroes that come from the states of Tennessee and Kentucky, and that's absolutely wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny you say that because I went to Ireland about 10 years ago, and I'd always heard that, you know, a lot of people from Scotland and Ireland and England came to the Tennessee-Kentucky area because the land is so similar, and it is.
I went
to Ireland, and it's like, it looks like Kentucky. Like, I feel like I should have been more impressed, but, like, I'm kind of used to that landscape.
It's interesting. People do what they do, then they go back to what they're used to, and if I'm a clansman, I've been thrown off my land, you know, that my family's had for God only knows how long, and I can escape away from the people English and live in the hills and be by myself, that's where I'm going to go.
Yeah, yeah, those areas, they are pretty isolated. But Kentucky is odd because it's like four different states in one. Like you have that area, like Eastern Kentucky Mountains. There are some cities there, but it's odd because you have like kind of like the coal country and then you have just like these like backwoods places where you don't want to be after dark. I mean, it is like another world. It really is. And where I live is more like just a small big city, college town, University of Kentucky is here. So you get all of that. But where I'm from is a more farming area. There's a big lake there. So there's a lot of touristy things happening there.
Sure.
So it's kind of like a little getaway town. But now Western Kentucky is more like the Midwest. And the land is flatter. There's actually swamps there, which I just became aware of not too long ago. And another interesting fact that I learned recently, Kentucky has an island in the middle of the Mississippi River. Yes, if you look at the map of Kentucky, you go to the end towards Missouri, there's like this little bitty dot. It's like an uninhabited island in the middle of the Mississippi River and actually belongs to Kentucky. It's really small. No one ever goes there.
I can see why. I mean,
yeah, it's like, who knows what's on the island? Maybe we should
explore
it. Yeah.
Absolutely. With Cocaine Bear, if at all possible, he probably has friends.
He
probably
does.
Cocaine Bear,
you know.
Probably does. And probably before Cocaine Bear passed, he probably started his own little clan of other bears running cocaine from South and Central
he
America.
He probably did. And they might be on that island. we don't
know. They could be.
They could
be. And there's a very bad TV show on one of the more weirder cable networks, where they look for things that live in the state of Kentucky, and they've yet to address cocaine beer. I'm going to write them a letter today.
You should. What is this show?
It's they look for monsters and UFOs in the state of Kentucky. And I'm thinking about, by the way, the people. Oh yeah, I will find the name and I'll name it to you. But so the way they look, it's to me. I don't mind a show that will play with a stereotype, right? But
yeah,
it bothers me a lot because it's supposed to be a realistic TV show. And there's no way that the people in Kentucky who grew up around firearms act the way that they do in a very unsafe manner, right? You don't shoot at your targets at night at random. You don't do those things. And it's an okay, in my opinion, it's okay to make fun of things, but not in the way that they're doing here. Yeah, see, when maybe it might be more of a, I don't understand what I'm talking about, ma'am.
I'll have to find that show. I have not seen it, but there are a lot of kind of stories about monsters here, so I'm not surprised that show exists. The big one is the Pope Lick Monster.
Okay.
I think he's pretty well known. He's in Louisville. Supposedly there's a bridge where he lives under. He's kind of between Louisville and Shelbyville, which are both about an hour from where I live. He is like, I think he's half man, half goat.
Oh, wow.
It's a pretty well-known story, and someone actually died recently trying to find it. Let me look this up real quick. It was in the past few years, someone actually died. They fell off. I think they fell off the bridge. Trying to look for him. Yeah. Here it is. It was last year.
Yeah.
It says he's a part man, part goat, part sheep. I didn't know about the sheep part. I just thought he was a goat.
Neither did I, but that would make fun of people from Irish descent, but I don't want them showing up with their own little cocaine beers and I make fun of them horribly. I mean, this cocaine, this is fascinating to hear about weird things that take place in the world of true crime again, ma'am. Let's find out. Now, can you give us how we find you on Twitter, and do you have a Facebook by the chance?
I don't have a Facebook, but my Twitter handle is Emily W. Stringer, Stringer. I get called Springer a lot, so I just wanted to clarify that. And you can find me on my website. And I also have a Twitter page for my true crime blog. It is, can never remember the handle, it's an abbreviation. It is at AMMF blog on Twitter.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. I appreciate you giving the information to us because people want to follow you. And you have, again, we can find your books on Amazon, correct?
Yes. They're exclusively on Amazon Kindle, yes.
Outstanding. That's very good to hear. I think I know many authors that do really well, that do very well on Amazon, and we wish you the best of luck with your writing and the like.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Pleasure was mine. And again, you have a fantastic day. If you should go and see Cocaine Bear and take a picture of him, you can also put it on your Twitter. We can see you with him. And so we actually can see you interact with him. I'm sure your fans and his fans will really be appreciative.
They would. I guarantee he has more fans than I ever will.
Oh, not at all, not at all. If you could find out, if you go there, whenever it is you go there, see if they have a shirt in 4X, because if they have a shirt that's in 4X, I must have one for myself.
Okay, I will go, and I will be happy to scope out a Cocaine Bear shirt for you.
Outstanding, ma'am. And with that, we wish you the very best of days and the best of all in your efforts running the Lexan Mab, ma'am.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. Thank you again.
Goodbye. All right.
Bye. Well, guys, that was a great show with a great guest, and I never thought I would hear today about a bear overdosing on cocaine, of all the things. And it's links to, of all people, Waylon Jennings. And I would bet you money that a hotel, the casino the bear was owned by, was probably Benny Bunyan. But that's a whole other story. Thanks again. Talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.